It's Preview Thursday here on the Locked On Buckeyes podcast, and here to help us learn all about the Nebraska Cornhuskers, who are the Buckeyes' next opponent, is Parker Gabriel from the Lincoln Journal Star. Him and I jump into why Nebraska has lost so many close games, what this defense does to give top teams fits, and a whole lot more about the Cornhuskers football team in this episode of Locked On Buckeyes.
Locked On Buckeyes, your daily podcast on the Ohio State Buckeyes. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
What is up, Buckeye fans? Welcome back to another episode of Locked On Buckeyes for the Locked On Podcast Network. I'm your host, Jay Stevens, also the host of the Jay Stevens Podcast. It is Thursday, November 4th in the year 2021, and this episode of Locked On Buckeyes is brought to you by McDonald's, proudly serving communities since 1965. McDonald's has always been more than just a place to get tasty, affordable food. It's an unofficial community center. A big thank you to our friends at McDonald's for always being there. I'm loving it. It's a Preview Thursday. We love this time of week. Get to learn all about the next opponent on the Buckeyes football schedule. Here joining me today, it's Parker Gabriel. He covers Nebraska football for the Lincoln Journal Star. Parker, how you doing, man?
I'm doing great. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, no problem. No problem at all. This Nebraska football team is very interesting. The record, I think, does not describe how much talent the team has. In your own words, what's the story of this year's team?
It's been really weird. That's probably the best way to put it. Nebraska's 3-6. They're 1-5 in the Big Ten. On paper, if you just go by the record, which of course is what matters at the end of the day, it's a bad football team. If you look at it by the metrics, it's a good football team. So like it's sort of hard to figure out. I mean, they're top 20 in the country in total offense. They're top 20 in the country, I think, in scoring defense. And they've lost six games this year, each by one score. They lost on the road at Oklahoma by 7 points. They lost on the road at Michigan State, which Ohio State fans obviously know, 8-0, in overtime in a game that they led, not only led in the fourth quarter, but they didn't give up a first down in the second half. Nebraska's defense didn't allow a single first down in the second half, lost the game. And then led Michigan in the fourth quarter in Lincoln last month and lost that one too. So it's been really bizarre. It's like every time you think they're going to get over the hump, they find a way to lose. So three lopsided wins and six close losses on the ledger so far this year for Nebraska.
Why do you think the losses have been so close?
Well, it's a great question. I mean, at some point, I'm sort of analytically geared. I don't tend to go toward things like coaching is such a nebulous term. Of course, that has something to do with it. Culture is sort of a nebulous term, probably has something to do with it. But I think you could spin that the other way and say, well, they've played toe-to-toe with three top 10 teams, so culture can't be that bad. But it's just been, it's been a myriad of reasons. You know, they dominated the second half at Michigan State, had looked like they were going to win the game, and then the punter hits a ball 35 yards off target and Jaden Reed walks into the end zone pretty much unchallenged at all for a punt return touchdown that tied the game late in the game. They had Michigan, they were leading Michigan. They had the ball with 3 minutes left and a chance to go kick a field goal and win. And Adrian Martinez, the experienced quarterback, he started 36 games, inexplicably fumbles the ball in a pile with a minute and 40 seconds left. So they've just found way after way after way. It's like they're inventing new ways to lose games. And that's just been, that's sort of been the MO for Nebraska this year. And they obviously don't like hearing that, but proof's in the pudding. Every time a game's been close, they've come up on the losing end rather than the winning side.
People look at Adrian Martinez. He's been at Nebraska. You mentioned he has started 36 games. They look at him and they say he's the problem. I think at times he's not the problem.
Right.
Do you think the criticism is fair of his play this season.
Yeah, well, the criticism of his play was fair last week. He threw four interceptions, and they lost to Purdue. Overall, though, this year, like, Adrian is, in a lot of ways, I mean, he is the microcosm of Nebraska as a whole. He's played well for the most part this year. He's been dynamic a lot of the time this year. And then he has made a couple of – he hasn't turned the ball over as frequently. At least he hadn't through the first eight games until he had four interceptions against Purdue. But his turnovers have just come at terrible times. He had a fumble in their opener. Nebraska played week zero against Illinois. They're tied with 30 seconds left before halftime. And he fumbled, ended up being a scoop and score. And you go into halftime down seven instead of being tied. And, you know, so that was a critical one week one. Obviously, the one we already talked about against Michigan was a critical one. So he's played well. He's made a lot of big plays. And his turnovers had come at really bad times, even though it hadn't been very many of them until last week. And then last week, you know, it just was sort of, he'd only thrown three interceptions on the season, including one against Oklahoma. That was your sort of like fourth and 17. You got to try to make something happen. You know, he'd been good with the football, and then he threw four last week, including a pick six that tied the game in the first half. And, you know, so it's been hard to figure. If you look at, he's made a lot of big plays with his legs, and he's averaging 9.4 yards per attempt throwing the ball. So if you look at that, you look at him and say, man, the guy's dangerous, and he is. But they just, you know, the mistakes, like for the team as a whole, it's not just Adrian. They've asked a lot of him. A lot of times it's, if he doesn't do it, it's not going to happen for Nebraska. They put a ton on his plate. But much like the team overall, when he's made mistakes, they've come at really, really bad times.
This episode of Locked On Buckeyes is brought to you by McDonald's, proudly serving communities since 1965. McDonald's has always been more than just a place to get tasty, affordable food. It's a place where friends and family can come to reconnect. A place where classmates can meet up for a study group, knowing they'll have dependable Wi-Fi and endless supplies of French fries and McFlurries. Win or lose, it's a place where teammates, competitors, the home team, or the away team can come to recharge. It's the place you always look forward to stopping at on a long road trip to rest your legs and refuel. So head to your local McDonald's to refuel and reconnect. Did somebody say Locked On Buckeyes watch party? Ba-da-ba-ba-da. I'm loving it. Parker, I'm curious, and I know we're talking about mistakes and Martinez and criticism, but this team, you mentioned that they possibly put too much on his plate. How could, in this game coming up against Ohio State, how could they put less on his plate and try to divide it and give more players on the offense more to do so Martinez isn't doing so much? It's, hey, let's give less for our quarterback to do so other people on the offense can help us be successful and possibly pulling off a really big upset.
Yeah, they've got I think they probably have the best skill talent since Scott Frost has been in Lincoln. They're actually okay. Their top line was pretty good in 2018, Scott's first year here, and when they almost beat Ohio State in Columbus. I think it ended up being 36-31. It sort of dipped in a couple of years since that. They've got two really good tight ends in Austin Allen and Travis Vokolek. They've got a physically pretty imposing set of receivers. They don't have the explosiveness of Ohio State's trio for sure. I mean, probably the best receivers in the country, but in terms of the rest of the Big Ten, I think they stack up okay, probably in the upper half of the Big Ten. They don't have their top running back, Ramir Johnson, is a smaller guy. He's 5'11 and 185. He's a tough kid. Mm-hmm. He's just not, you know, when they've handed it to him 20 times, he's been fine, but that does take a toll over the course of the season. So for me, I think it's really, you know, they've got to put – where they've really struggled offensively is up front on the offensive line. And so to me, the key is, I think you've got to give Adrian Martinez a lot of easy decisions, a lot of quick decisions. The more times that they'd like to throw the ball down the field, so that they have them in long dropbacks and all of that. You just can't, if you do that 15 times a game, you might hit a couple, and then a couple of times, you know, he's running for his life or he's getting hit or whatever. So I think they've got to, you know, play fast and try to put him in situations where he can get in a rhythm in terms of making quick decisions and spreading the ball around to the guys, because they do have guys that have the ability to make plays on the perimeter.
What's kind of the talk right now about Scott Frost and his tenure at Nebraska?
Yeah, we got asked directly about his job status and you know, sort of blocking out the noise because his seat's really warmed up. You know, I think it's flipped really fast. We were just talking about the Michigan game. You know, that environment in Memorial Stadium in Lincoln was absolutely electric. It's the loudest I've heard it there. It's my fifth year on the beat. And he, you know, they're leading Michigan, top 10 team in the country in the middle of the fourth quarter, and the crowd's going bananas. And it's sort of like it felt in that moment like, hey, this might be, you know, one win isn't going to entirely turn a program around. But it felt like that moment where this is what it's supposed to look like here, mm-hmm. you know, and then it didn't happen. And then they went up and got pushed around against Minnesota and Minneapolis and came out of a bye week and lost to Purdue. And suddenly you go from this, hey, you know, you've taken a couple top 10 teams to the limit. Let's see if they can make a run in the second half, to they've lost three in a row. They're 3-6. And the three teams left on the schedule, Ohio State, and then they play Wisconsin and Iowa. Scott Frost combined his 0-8 against those three teams at Nebraska. So, like, it went from this team's going to get over the hump, or at least it looks like it does, to they could realistically finish 3-9. And it just sort of – it happened really fast. It went from promising, but you sort of you're still a little skeptical because they've got to do it, to 50-50 on whether it just becomes a total train wreck of a season. And that's life in college football when you're a fourth year coach and, you know, 15-26, I think now. So it's gotten interesting really fast. You know, he's got the flip side of that is it'd be a huge upset, obviously, if they beat Ohio State. There's no reason why they can't beat either Wisconsin, Iowa, or both, given where both of those teams are at. So you've got a chance to really write the story one way or the other here over the last three games.
People have said if Scott Frost can't take Nebraska back to the promised land, who can? I think that's kind of a statement that you're hoping people are believing that the only guy that can do that is a Nebraska player or someone that's from that place, that's been there, that knows what that brand is. I don't really believe that. I know that you can get another coach that, say Scott Frost isn't the guy. I have my own reasons to think that he's not, but let's say he's not the guy. Let's say you go out and get somebody else that has no tie to Nebraska, then all of a sudden you see that they're doing things that nobody else has done in 20 years at Nebraska. I don't think it has to be a Nebraska guy, but I do think that's some added pressure, Parker, on Scott Frost saying he's going to take us to the promised land because he was the last starting quarterback of our team the last time he won a national championship. I mean, the play on the field is one thing. That's one thing to respond to. But it's a whole lot different when you have everybody in your ear, people on TV, radio saying, if it's not Scott Frost, who can do it?
Yeah, and he's, you know, he talked a little bit about that earlier in the year. It was actually before they played Michigan, because there's a lot of similarities, obviously, between Jim Harbaugh and Frost in terms of former quarterbacks back at their alma mater. Yeah, Harbaugh's obviously won a lot more games at Michigan than Scott has here. But yeah, he said, you know, it's always, if anything, it brings more, it's more intense. There's more pressure when it's your alma mater and you're there. You know, there's a bunch of guys in the Big Ten that are that way. Obviously, you know, Paul Christ at Wisconsin, you know, played there. And so it's not unique in college football. It's not overly common. The thing with the sort of coaching situation in general is you think that way. Fans tend to think that way until they see that it doesn't work.
Right.
You know, and then at that point, it's like, well, if you're a fan, you're like, I sort of have to believe that maybe someone else can do it, because if I don't believe that, then what's left? Nothing. Right. So, you know, whether it gets turned around under Scott or whether they end up making a change, and I don't think that's impossible after this year, obviously. And certainly if he's back in 2022, that they have to win in 2022. So as long as this is sort of in question, you know, it's that whole conversation is going to happen. They've had a couple of outsiders and a couple of insiders sort of since Frank Solich was fired. And, you know, Bill Callahan was an outsider. They had talent and never quite got over the hump. You know, Bo Pelini is not from here, but he had coached here as an assistant and as a defensive coordinator. Same thing. I mean, he won 9 games every year he was in Lincoln, but they never won a conference championship or really got over the hump. And then Mike Riley was a total outsider. That didn't work. Now they're back to an insider and it's not working. So you just, doesn't matter. I mean, it's the same as anything, whether it's this year, next year, 10 years from now, whoever the next head coach is at Nebraska, you just got to find the right person. You know, that's the real thing, is you got to find the right person. It doesn't matter if they're from Nebraska or they're from, you know, Texas or wherever.
What are some things that have worked for this offense this season?
Well, they've been at their best when Adrian Martinez has been healthy and effective in the run game. They've got, it's when they're humming on offense, they're really fun to watch because they've produced big plays down the field in the passing game at a higher rate than at any point under Frost so far the past 4 years. So they've got the ability to take the top off defense, which really, really hindered them the past 2 years, 19 and 20. They've got that resolve for the most part this year. And then in their run game, without a dominant running back, they've got a couple of nice pieces. We talked a little bit about Ramir Johnson, but Adrian Martinez has really been sort of integral to their run game when they've done it well. And they run a lot of option principles. You know, you'll see them run pretty much true speed option to the edge. They run veer and midline, basically, out of the pistol and out of shotgun. Yeah. They're running counter stuff. It's really, their run game is unique and it's been effective at times. Now, Martinez has not been fully healthy, in part because they've leaned on him so heavily in the run game, mm-hmm. sort of the catch 22 that they've dealt with and he's dealt with his whole career. But when they're going good on offense, they're getting to the perimeter in the run game, and Adrian Martinez's ability and explosiveness as a runner puts defenders in a bind just the way you want in the option. And then what they've added to that this year is the ability to wrinkle off of that, you know, have derivatives off of that where they're throwing the ball down the field. And it's been, if you look at what they're doing total offense-wise, yards per play-wise, it's been effective. They've just struggled in the red zone, and at times they just haven't finished drives. And so that leads to this sort of imbalance between what they do between the 20s, which is move the ball really efficiently, and what they do in the red zone, which has been, you know, left something to be desired.
We're back and better than ever. A new web interface for the start of the basketball season and more props, odds, and lines than ever before. BetOnline remains your number one spot for all the basketball and football action this season. Head to our new updated desktop or mobile website to sign up today and receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Just use our promo code LOCKEDON, LOCKEDON, and it's all one word to receive your bonus. From basketball, football, baseball postseason, NHL, boxing, and UFC, right to your favorite Vegas casino games. Don't wait to take advantage of all the amazing offers available for the 2021 season. BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your favorite sports. BetOnline, where the game starts.
The defense to me is one that I think is going to be very big in this game. We saw how last week Penn State kind of really slowed down the Ohio State rushing attack for most of the game until Ohio State found some things working in the second half. I do think the 3-4 defense that Nebraska runs could provide some issues for Ohio State. Then you add in JoJo Doman and how good he is on that defense. I mean, it could be kind of an interesting chess match between the two coaches here. How in the world does this defense, specifically against the Oklahoma, Michigan State, and Michigan games, in those games, how have they caused fits for the better teams in the country?
Yeah, well, one of the things they've done really well so far this year is that they've really taken away, you know, they've identified sort of what is it, what's the thing, what's the top line thing mm-hmm. that you want to take away. Against Michigan State, it was Kenneth Walker, and they're one of the only defenses so far this year to slow that guy down. Obviously, you saw, you know, Michigan's run defense is stout, and he got 196 and 5 touchdowns against him last week. That, you know, he rushed for, he had less than 40 yards going into overtime, and then he got a 23-yarder in overtime. That was by far his best run of the day and the most damage he did against Nebraska. And against Oklahoma, they just said flatly, you know, we're not going to get beat over the top.
Yeah.
And Oklahoma, you know, they had a decent day. They had 408 yards, I think, but they didn't have a snap over 23. And so that really allowed Nebraska to sort of – they stayed in front. They tackled. They didn't give up any big plays. And so they've been sort of able to – adjust what they're doing, and because they're a veteran group, they've got guys who can sort of take each week's game plan and execute it pretty well. Now, I think Ohio State's the biggest challenge they face because of the balance. You can't just say we're not going to get beat over the top. You know, Kennedy Brooks and that the Oklahoma backs are they're pretty good, but I think Travion Henderson's probably better than either of those guys that Oklahoma has. They're more explosive in the run game. So there's not, you know, you follow the team closely, obviously. There's not a way to look at Ohio State and say, okay, what's the one thing we can take away to keep ourselves in the game? So that it's the biggest challenge that Nebraska's defense has faced this year. And they don't get enough pressure on the quarterback to be able to just line up and rush for and be okay. So we'll see what they've got in store. It's going to be very interesting to see sort of where they start, you know, defensively with their game plan.
I'm curious too, because I'm looking at the numbers here and I try my best not to dive into and hop into and say the numbers will be the end all be all of this game. These numbers are pretty interesting. We talk about the struggles that they have. Pass defense, yards per game, 211.2. That's Nebraska. Rushing, they're giving up 137.2 yards per game on the ground. So, I mean, it's not like they're giving up like 200 yards on the ground or 300 in the air. They're kind of finding ways defensively to slow people down, even though, as you say, Parker, there is no really consistent pass rush. So rush defense there, pass defense, they're figuring something out.
Yeah.
I'm still baffled. I know we're 18 minutes in here. I am baffled at what I see here, the play I see on the field in their 3-6. It's confusing to me.
Yeah, there's only – I saw a stat earlier today. I think there are only six teams in the country that have a better yards per play differential, so the difference between what the offense gets and what the defense allows, in the country than Nebraska. And they're all either undefeated or have one loss. Nebraska's 3-6.
Yeah. You know?
So it's really – like that's what – A lot of times you hear college coaches say the team X team we're playing this week is really good and they're fundamentally sound. And sometimes what they're talking about a bad team and they're being polite and it's just what you say. I don't think if I'm guessing, but I don't think if you're Mel Tucker or Jim Harbaugh or Ryan Day, like you don't have to go too deep into the numbers to convince your team like, hey, look, this is a dangerous group. But then the other thing, which I think the West, you really get this sense with the way that teams in the West have played Nebraska. The other thing is it doesn't take a lot to convince your team, just stay after it.
Yeah.
If you stay after them, they'll crack at some point. You know, that they've lost all these close games. Their coach is on the hot seat. You know, they've lost six games by one score. So all you got to do is get them to the fourth quarter and make the play, and you're in good shape. So it's a really I obviously think about it from the Nebraska perspective a lot. I think if you were preparing for them, it would feel like a dangerous game, but also one that if you've got a mentally tough group, you've got every chance to knock them out at some point over the course of 60 minutes.
We're just about out of time, but before we go, I got to ask you one quick question. Do you think Nebraska pulls off the upset?
I don't.
Okay.
I think they've got, it's sort of like we were just saying, I think they've got a stretch of quality play in them, some, you know, for a stretch of the game, but they haven't been able to get over the hump so far this year. And this is the biggest hump that they've been asked to get over. So I'll believe it when I see it. You know, it would be, I guess it'd be less surprising than say like 2019. But it'd be a major surprise, I think, if Nebraska were to actually walk out Saturday with a win.
It would be surprising. I have been on the fence. I've been very hesitant about this game because I think Nebraska does have pieces that if they put them all together, and let's say Adrian Martinez plays the best game of his life, they could pull off the upset.
Yeah.
I know what I'm going to get from Adrian Martinez. I think good plays and a couple mistakes. I just don't know if the defense of Nebraska can slow down Ohio State's attack. We saw last week against a good Penn State defense, Ohio State struggled at times, but they found a way to put points on the board. And it's good when your kicker has not missed a kick all season. I'm nervous, man. And I shouldn't – I won't say I'm crazy nervous. But
yeah.
The hesitation in my voice shows that I do trust and I do think Nebraska can be a tougher test than I thought they were going to be even a few weeks ago.
Yeah, I think that's right. I mean, Nebraska's dangerous. They just haven't put it all together. You know, they've got a good offense that doesn't score enough. And they've played – you know, better on special teams the last few weeks, and they still got issues at kicker and the metrics say they're bad overall on special teams, not quite as bad as early in the year, but they just, you know, they just have been mistake prone. That's really it. And when you're playing in a game where you're clearly, you know, you're clearly behind Ohio State in terms of talent on the roster, I don't think anybody would question that. And you're playing a team that has finds ways to win games and has a lot to play for. It's just the margin for error is really small. And we have not seen Nebraska be able to walk that line under Scott Frost, and in particular this year.
That is true. Parker, if you could let everyone know. Well, first, I want to say thank you for coming on. This was a lot of fun. If you could let everyone know where they can follow you on Twitter and then where they can read some of your work leading up to the game.
Yeah, Husker Extra PG is the Twitter handle. And journalstar.com/Huskers or HuskerExtra.com, either one will get you where you want to go. Obviously, you know, just like you guys, got a ton of coverage this week, big game, and interesting – not just the interesting few days, but interesting few weeks ahead here in Lincoln. So, yeah, thanks for having me. It's been really fun.
No problem, man. And, guys, you can always follow me on Twitter at jsteven07. We'll be here a couple Friday and then possibly a little show Saturday morning more leading up to the game. But for sure on Friday, getting you ready for this weekend's big game. You can follow me on Twitter at jsteven07. Follow the podcast on YouTube, Locked On Buckeyes, Odyssey app, Apple Podcasts, wherever you get your podcasts. Locked On Buckeyes is free. Every single day. Big game coming up. I'm excited. Parker was here with me. Guys, let's stay tuned. This game might be closer than we think.